Hang on there, because that's not where we're going to be. That's just a good place to be, because we're going to kind of sort of somewhat end up there, I hope. Deuteronomy chapter 11. Now, our text verse is going to be found in the book of Psalms. You don't need to turn there. I'll just read it for you. Psalm 127, verse 3, the Bible said, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward." Let's pray. Father, help us this morning. We're talking about Your heritage and Your reward. Talking about the gifts that come down from God. The gift of our children. Lord, I pray this morning You give us wisdom in what we say. Give us grace in the way that we say it. Lord, I pray that You might open the hearts and the understanding of the mamas and the daddies and the grandmas and the grandpas and every adult, Lord, may we see the value of the heritage that we have, our children and our grandchildren. Lord, that they are the future not only of our nation, but the future of Christianity. And I pray, oh God, You'd help us to speak to hearts this morning. We ask it in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. Now, I want to talk to you this morning, bring you a little message entitled, "The Lord's Heritage." And I want to do that because it's a good time to take the opportunity, because in the media for the last couple of weeks, we've just heard all kind of stuff about children. The vice presidential nominee for the Republican Party is a mother of five. And her 17-year-old unwed daughter is with child. And the media has just absolutely had a field day with it. And that kind of bothers me. One, this is a very personal tragedy for a family. But the pundits and the late night talk show hosts, who generally have an IQ rating of about 3, have just kicked them around like a football. David Letterman, who is as stupid as he looks, and he looks incredibly stupid, he opened his big, ignorant, uneducated, unthoughtful, ignorant mouth the other day and said, "So, the vice president's daughter, a vice presidential nominee's daughter is knocked up." Now, how would you feel if you heard somebody talking about your daughter like that? Amen. Now, me and somebody would be fighting. Amen. So, the vice presidential candidate's daughter is knocked up. Then he said, "You would have thought her mother would have took 5 minutes and talked to her about birth control." Well, David Letterman, how do you know that she didn't? I know lots of people whose sons and daughters have gotten themselves in a mess, and they came from good families with good mamas and daddies who tried to teach them right, and the children weren't necessarily bad or evil or wicked. They just did what nature calls for. They made a mistake. I don't know many families that cannot relate to that. Amen. And if you're one of the lucky few where yours either didn't do it or didn't get caught doing it, thank God for it. That doesn't prove that mamas and daddies were negligent in their training. And it doesn't necessarily indicate that the boys or the girls were bad kids. I'm a firm believer. The Bible said we are of them that have no confidence in the flesh. And the best way to make sure that never happens is you never let boys and girls alone together. Because I'm telling you, son, there's a strong pull between boys and girls. And that inexperience and that youthful excitement and that intrigue and that mystery, you give them opportunity, it can happen. Amen. Then they wanted to debate whether or not Sarah Palin was capable of being able to govern in the capacity of vice president or president, should something happen to John McCain, and also be a good parent at the same time. Of course, now, a lot of the feminists really got their hackles up about that, see? And they said, well, you wouldn't ask that same question if she were a man, even though he fathered five children. And there's a lot of truth in that. Amen. But so children and parenting and responsibility for children has been in the news lately. And I think, well, you know, if I'm a good preacher, I stay up on current events and I preach to you where we're at, not where Charles Spurgeon was at. I need to preach where America's at in 2008. Amen. And so in 2008, we have women outside of the home. And we have women multitasking, and we have fathers who are helping to raise children and helping to do chores around the house. Now, I'm not talking about the rightness or the wrongness or the being proper or improper. That's just where we're at. Okay? That's the world you live in. There's a new book out. Fox News had a lady on the other day, and you know, I've about decided you can't get a job with Fox if you're not a babe. I'm serious. It's a heart attack, huh? I know why they got such good ratings. Anyway, they had a lady on there who's just written a book, and it's, I guess, a bestseller. And the title of the book was, I'm Not Your Friend, I'm Your Parent. And I listened to the lady talk. Boy, I thought, man, she sounds like an independent, fundamental, premillennial little doohickey like us. I'm not sure she is, but she sure got some good guidelines for raising youngins. Amen. And so children and training and parenting and all those things are in the news these days. It's in vogue to talk about kids and parenting and training, raising children. I thought, well, if presidential candidates and late night talk show hosts and authors can talk about it, surely us Baptist preachers can. We have the final authority. Amen. On raising children. And nobody has an instruction booklet that will help you to do it right better than we do. Amen. Now, I like all those helps, you know, you get from Dobson and all that, the strong-willed child and how to parent. And Dr. Howells wrote How to Raise Teenagers and this. I thank God for all those books. But the best book ever written on how to raise kids is right here. Right here. You've had it the whole time. And by the way, it's a bestseller. The Bible sold more copies than any other half dozen books put together in the history of the world. So you got a bestseller right here, and it is the final infallible authority on how to raise youngins. Now I'm going to read four or five passages. You don't need to turn to them. I'm just going to read them because I have, looks like 12 points here on this. So I've got to kind of move along. Even though I would really like to park here and just ad-lib for a while. I'd like to be able to do what Rush Limbaugh does, you know. He has the monologue at the beginning of his program, and sometimes it's excessively long. And I find myself saying, Rush, shut up and take a phone call. but I'd like to be able to park here for a while and just talk about current events. But I do have a message. So let me read some verses for you. In Matthew chapter 18 and verse 2, the Bible said, And Jesus called little children unto him and set him in the midst of them. And of course, then he went on and blessed them. In Matthew chapter 19, verse 13 and 14, the Bible said, Then were there brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray. But the disciples rebuked them, but Jesus said, Suffer little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. In Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6, the Bible said, Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, everybody's pretty much or should be familiar with those passages. I want to read you two or three that you're not going to be quite so familiar with. If you will take your Bible and turn with me back to Deuteronomy chapter 4. I want you to go back to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 8. And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law? Only take heed to yourself, to thyself, and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. Now, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy 6, verse 6. Deuteronomy 6, verse 6. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thine house, and on thy gates. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 18. Deuteronomy 11, 18. Therefore, shall you lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And you shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt write them upon the doorpost of thine house and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them as the... Now watch that last verse. As the days of heaven upon the earth. Man. God's pretty strong about that thing, ain't he? He said, all these things that I've written you, this law that I've given you, and all that your eyes have seen, and all that your ears have heard, and all that you've read, he said, teach it. Teach it diligently. Teach it over and over. Teach it morning and noon and night, in the house and on the highway. Teach them to your children. And make little plaques and little signs and put them all over your house and put them on the front post of your door and put them on the gate that leads to your house. He said, just put the Word of God everywhere, hanging out for the whole wide world to see, and especially so your children can see it and read it and be reminded of it from their youth up. Pretty good. He said, speak of it, write of it, teach them young'uns. So the emphasis in the Bible is quite clear that parents have a responsibility not just to get saved, but to have a Christian home. Now, let me start at the beginning. The first thing that's necessary, mom and dad, when you have children, you assume a responsibility. You assume a duty. You assume an obligation to train and teach your children. Now, I don't have to explain that to most folks. I mean, the average citizen's not so retarded that they don't understand when you raise a kid, when you bring a kid into the world, the child is helpless. It comes in with a little brain of mush, and there's nothing in it. And everything that it ever learns to do, somebody has to teach it. You have to help it learn to walk. You have to teach it to eat. You have to potty train it. You have to, I mean, just Children are inherently a long, drawn-out, repetitive teaching process. Amen? And if you're a good parent, you are in the teaching business. Amen? Now, there are some bad parents that just bring their kids into the world and turn them loose and turn their back on them. That ain't the kind I'm interested in. I'm talking about you folks that are good, decent people, love your children, and want to raise them right. If you're going to raise them, you're going to spend some time teaching them and training them. And there's going to be some things that you're not qualified to teach and train. And so you're going to go out and spend a whole bunch of money, and society is going to spend a whole bunch of money, and we're going to get professionals to teach our children those things that we're not qualified to teach. Amen? Every last one of y'all, everybody in here that's got a young and grand young and great great grand young and whatever it is, you want to make sure your kids go to good schools. We want qualified teachers that know how to teach. We want good curriculums that have the latest information. And we want to make sure that our children go in an environment where it is conducive to learning. We don't want disruptive classrooms. We don't want the bullies and the nonsense that goes on a lot. We want our classrooms to be quiet and organized. We want well-qualified, certified teachers that love kids and have a burden to teach. And we want to put our little old youngins in there and fill that head full of mush, full of information and knowledge and hopefully a little wisdom. And we want to prepare them so that when they become adults, they're qualified and they're smart enough and well trained enough and have enough education that they can go wherever their several talents and abilities will take them. Amen. We say we got to teach them. We got to train these youngins. Teaching and training go hand in hand. They were talking the other day about some of the rescue personnel that's going down here to Texas and all that to help the folks out. And they say, we've spent X number of years training these people. We've got a program that they have to go through. And matter of fact, Texas got a program that's so outstanding in some areas that other states actually send some of their first responders there. See how up I am on terminology? And and they send their first responders there to learn, to be taught. They want to train them. And they go down there and they say, boy, they've got the best teachers. See? You send them to be trained. It takes teachers to train. The Bible said, train up a child. That means teach it. Teach it. Teach it. That don't mean just give birth, put it on a leash, and put it in the kennel with the rest of the puppies. Amen? I knew a fella down in Mississippi one time. Down there they do a lot of deer hunting, and they hunt them with dogs because the underbrush and all is so thick and so heavy. And this one fella had a bunch of what they call little black and tan hounds. They get about that high, and they just real good at getting through that brush. And so you see a lot of folks down there hunt with those black and tan. And this one fella had about 8 or 10 of them things, and he would get out every afternoon, and he'd take an old piece of hide from a deer, and he'd rolled it up and tied it up, and he'd take that thing and drag it along the ground and hide it, and he'd send them dogs out and make sure they hunted it. Amen? And then the fella down the road, a buddy of his, had a big old kennel full of dogs. He knew nothing. He just fed them old Roy a couple of times a week, and that's all they got. Amen? Water and old Roy. That old Roy, by the way, is the cheapest dog food you can buy. Amen. It doesn't come in one of them fancy little cans. And it doesn't look like you could have had roast beef for dinner. I mean, old Roy is just nasty stuff. Well, hunting season comes, and they want to go deer hunting, and them boys get their dogs down there, and they give that dog the scent, and this one fellow, man, he turned his dogs loose. They got that nose to the ground. They running back and forth through there. They pick up on a deer, throw that head back, and yelp a time or two, and boy, they're off chasing that deer. That other dog was all over the woods. God only knew where they was going to go. They was chasing squirrels. They was chasing rabbits. Old boy caught him down there one day. There's three of them playing in the pond trying to catch crawfish. I mean, just, they wasn't good deer dogs. He said, what's the difference? Well, this boy raised his, this boy trained his. Amen. And so teaching, training requires a lot of effort, a lot of responsibility, a lot of hard work. And I got no problem with that, buddy. I think you ought to get your kids the best education you can. Because if and they don't learn to read, write, and do arithmetic, they're going to flip hamburgers down at Mickey D's or someplace like that the rest of their life. Amen. Now, if you want them to make a decent living and not embarrass you, I mean, when they're 30 and you're 70, and somebody said, "Oh, well, what do your children do?" "Oh, man, I tell you what, I'm so proud of my boy. He's been down there at Mickey D's now for about 15 years, and he's the number one. He's the lead flipper on the line. He's flipped more hamburgers than anybody in York, South Carolina. Glory to God." You want to tell somebody your kid's got a degree and he works here or he works there, or your girl's making $75,000 a year being a radiologist, and this, that, and other. Amen. You want to say, "Oh, my child went to such and such a school and graduated cum laude and sigma cum laude and all that other, you know, I mean, make up all them letters you want, boy, just give them something." But, and you stand there proud as punch, chest all stuck out, yeah. "Yeah, my boy's doing good, you know, he's vice president in charge of putting peanuts in the sack or something, you know." That's what you want, ain't it? I don't know. I don't know anybody that's got young'uns wants to have to hang their head and say, "Well, my young'un didn't amount to squat. I mean, they work down there putting balancing tires and doing front end work." I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. That's honest, honorable work. And there are people that's all they're qualified for. But none of us ever think that's our young'un. "That ain't what I wanted for mine." Right now, that'd be an improvement what he's doing, but I was doing something. But that ain't what we want it for. Amen? We want them to get an education so they make a good living, so they can take care of themselves and not have to freeload on us. Amen. So we don't want to have to support them, because we want to be able to spend all of our money on their young'uns. Somebody say amen. Our country is education crazy. The amount of money this country spends on education on a national level in 1 year is sinful. Yeah. Especially if you consider the return that we get on our investment. Right. Now, I'm personally in favor of homeschooling. I understand not everybody can do that. The next best thing is a Christian school, if you can find one. A lot of religious schools these days, not many Christian schools, not in my personal opinion. But if you can't do homeschooling, Christian school's best. And if you can't do that, and a lot of folks can't afford it, then public school's all you have left. Amen? Well, bless God, we ought to have the best public schools in the world then. And God knows we spend enough money, we ought to have some good schools. Amen. Every time you turn around, all them teachers want more money, want more money, want more money, want more money, want more money. I tell my wife all the time, we ought to fire them all. Close them down. Start them back at a third of what they're making. And say, when you turn out a decent product that can read, write, and do arithmetic, and have some history, and know a little geography, and take a civics class, and a social studies class, and find out what's going on in the world, and find out the world's bigger than them, then we give you a pay raise. And when you start turning out a real product that is not functionally illiterate, when you turn out something that can read, write, and comprehend what's read and written, we'll give you another pay raise. And if you want to get back up to where you're at, bless God, you're going to have to turn out a product worthy of the salary that you get. I'm sick and tired of throwing more money at a losing proposition. The more money we give them, the worse product they turn out. But boy, we'll spend money on education, won't we? And of course, we want to expand education. We not only want to have reading, writing, and arithmetic and all those other things, and have all those socially acceptable programs where we become integrated with other races and languages and nationalities and cultures, and multiculturalism and all that. And I'm not going there. But that's what we want in our school. We want all of our little old young'uns to be able to get along with everybody and not think anybody that's different from them is weird or odd or substandard. And there's some merit to that. But we not only want that, we want them to have basketball, football, soccer. Amen? And we'll spend a gazillion dollars making sure they got ball fields and all the right equipment. And who in the world would think about sending Johnny out there to play football without making sure he had a complete uniform and the right kind of shoes and the right kind of hat and the right... Amen? And if he plays soccer too, then mom and daddy got to buy two kind of uniforms. Look, well, you can't send Johnny out there and let him be different. And even though they're not making a dime playing ball or being in sports, it would be a crime against God and humanity to say that it was a waste of time to have a big sports program and that money had been better spent on reading, writing, and arithmetic. Oh, just cut my throat and send me on wherever I belong. Now, I have all kind of objections and problems that we could spend here forever and ever enumerating with the educational system in America. But I can't change that overnight, so I'm not going to spend any time on it. I really want to talk to you about training your kids for God. Mamas and daddies will take the time and the energy and the money to get their children a secular education. We will fight and claw and scrap and just raise pure to hell if we don't think our kids are in the best school in the area or if they're not invited to participate in the advanced classes or if they're cut from a ball team. Boy, you watch mamas and daddies get them hackles up and go at it, son. I tell you right now, you sorry piece of white trash, my young'un's as good a football player as yours. And if that little sucker is going to get to play, my little boy is going to get to play. Yeah, but your little boy's club-footed. I mean, if you take his contacts out, he can't find his feet. I mean, you know, he's just not good at athletic. I don't care. We'll fuss and fight and spend all our money to make sure our kids are included and that they get the best money can buy. Amen? And you know what we do? We turn right around and ignore their religious training. They can just die and go to hell for all we care. As long as they make the soccer team and as long as little Susie's a cheerleader. Now, I know we Christian and we're supposed to dress modest and all that. And you, if you're a cheerleader, you got to go out there and show your hiney to the whole wide world. So then why did you let her do it? Well, they just wanted to. I'm so sick and tired of hearing mamas and daddies saying, when you ask them why their kids are doing this, that, or the other, and mom and daddy don't agree with it, and they don't like it, and they don't approve of it, but mom and daddy letting them do it anyway. Well, that's just the way they do it there. Well, that's just the way it is these days. Well, why'd you let them do it? Well, they just wanted to. That's what they wanted. I love the title of that book. I ain't your friend. I'm your parent. Somebody say amen right there. So I want to talk to you this morning what little time I have left. I got 12 points. I ain't even got started yet. I may finish this tonight. Y'all want to come back? No, I got to finish this morning because half of y'all won't come back. Let me start with this. Number one, Jesus loves and wants to receive little children. Jesus loves little young'un. And He wants them to come to Him.
Amen.
Amen. Jesus loves little children, and He wants them to come to Him. Jesus loves them. He loves them little young'uns as much as He loves you old sinners. He loves them little youngins as much as He loves all you mamas and daddies. Jesus loves them little youngins. And I'll be absolutely honest with you. Them little youngins got a head start on you. You ever read that thing over there that said, except you become as little children, you cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven? Say, little children must receive, they must become as little children and receive Jesus Christ by simple childlike faith. Well, child don't have to do anything to do that. They're already there. You got to back up 15, 20, 30, 40 years to become as a little child. It's 10 times as hard for you to get saved and get right with God as it is them little young'un. Preacher stands up there and tells the truth about Jesus Christ. Them little young'uns just believe it. Some of you adults sitting there say, well, yeah, but what about so and so? And if that's so, what about this, you know? And you let your intelligence and all that stuff get in your way. Them little young'uns don't do that. They say, man, it sounds good to me. I want it. Jesus wants them. I'll tell you something else. According to that Bible, people that hinder little children from coming to Jesus, God gets mad about it. That's found in Mark chapter 10, verse 14. It said, Jesus was angry. They told them little kids, no, now run on. Don't bother him. He's busy. Jesus got mad about it. He said, stop that nonsense and let them little young'uns come on over here. God help mamas and daddies and grandmas and grandpas that hinder their children from coming to Jesus Christ. You ought to make Christ accessible to your children. They ought to be in church every time that door opens. Amen. When you hinder their spiritual growth, when you hinder their walk with Christ, when you hinder their fellowship with the Lord, Jesus is angry with you. You to make sure your children come to Christ and that they know Him and He knows them. And of course, we're commanded to bring them. So if you're not bringing your children to Christ, if you're not bringing them to church, if you're not bringing them where they can be taught and trained about God, you're in direct disobedience of a commandment from Jesus Christ. He said, bring them. Bring them. Oh, well, preacher, we bring them once a month. Well, listen, when I was 6, 7, 8 years old, if I didn't do a thing but once a month, you had to retrain me. Amen. Ain't changed much either. The older I get, the quicker it happens, you know. We used to tease when I was in the Navy, we had Marine guards. And we'd say, you know why you can only give a Marine 30 minutes for lunch? If you give them longer than that, you got to retrain them. That's why little 6, 7, 8, 9, 10-year-old youngins, they only getting a little bit anyhow. Because that little mind of theirs is everywhere. And if you give them 45-minute message, they get 4.5 minutes. And then you bring them once a month, and you wonder why they never know anything about God, why they never develop spiritually. Because you didn't train them. You made them acquainted with it, but you didn't train them in it. They need to be constant subjection to the preaching of the Word of God. They need constant subjection to the things of God. Amen. That puts the emphasis on mamas and daddies. Since little kids can't drive and they can't teach themselves and they don't need to know what they need to be taught, it puts it on me and you to make sure they get taught and they get where they can be taught. And we ought to put as much effort and as much time and as much money into getting our children taught spiritually and getting them informed about the things of God as we do about school and all the activities and all the extracurricular stuff down at the local school. You ought to put at least that much time and energy and money into raising them for God. Now, once they get brought to Christ, what Christian mom and daddy doesn't want their little boy or little girl to get saved? I mean, that ought to be the burden of your heart. I mean, if you're a saved man or woman, you believe that heaven and hell is real, what could possibly be more important to you than the salvation of the eternal soul of that precious little boy or little girl you got? What could possibly be more important than that? It ought to be a constant prayer on your heart and on your lips every day of your life that your children would come to know Christ and they get saved at an early age and that their eternal destiny would be secured from their youth up. Amen. But now they get saved. If you bring them to church often enough, they hear the gospel often enough, finally that they get saved. They come to Christ. Then what? Since children cannot teach themselves, it's parental duty to see they get taught. Now, just like you do with their secular education, you can teach some of it. Which we're not doing, by the way, for the most part. You know, everybody I know wants to live in a civil society. You ever hear people complain, oh, people are just so rude anymore. You don't hear, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. You don't see, yes, sir, no, sir. There's no respect for the elderly. There's no respect for position or authority. People are just rude. They push into you. They cut in front of you. I mean, just, we talk about how uncivil society is becoming. That's because somebody's not teaching.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. It's just that simple. When I was a boy, if I didn't say yes, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, my dad was upside my head. And I hear people today say, yep, that's right, preacher. But then they turn right down and they don't do it. Well, if it worked then and it made a civil society, it'll work now. How come you're not doing it? Duh. We want our children to be taught and trained. We want to live in a civil society. We want to live in a godly society. People say, I hear them all the time, boy, if we don't get back to God, preacher, if we don't get back to the Bible, I don't know where this nation's going. All I do is going straight to hell. That's where it's going.
Amen.
Say, well, we just got to get back to God. Okay, hot shot. Let's get back to God. I'm doing my part. You doing yours? You teaching your children at home? You have family devotion with them? You read the Bible with them? Do you teach them to pray? Do you make them tithe off every dime they get? Do you make sure they go to church 3 times a week? Do you talk to them about spiritual principles and spiritual concepts? Well, preacher, I'm not qualified for that. You know, I'm just... Okay. All right. Good. I'll tell you what. You do what you can at home, and what you can't, you bring them down here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Member Lewis will help do the rest.
Amen.
Amen. You got them at home. You teach them manners and this, that, and the other, and certain fundamentals. But there's certain things you're not qualified to teach, so you send them off to the school. Has to get taught. Amen. Okay. Teach them what you can about God at home, and about right and wrong, and about morals and this, that, and the other. And when you run up against that stump and you can't go any further, bring them on down here, and we'll see if we can't help them out. Amen. Take them to the professional. Take them to the people that's trained to do that. That's what you do with the rest of their education. Why in the world would you want them to grow up and love God and live for God and be good men and women and have morals and not be a bunch of sluts and whoremongers and drugs and dope heads and that? You want them to be better than that, but you won't bring them to church where they can be taught and trained. You about gotta kneel down and take people by the feet and kiss their feet to get them to bring their children to the house of God, and now I'm standing there claiming to be saved by God's grace the whole time. There's something wrong with that. So, oh, I ain't never coming back. Free country. It's a parental responsibility for the training of their children. And that's the training that's necessary to survive and prosper in the world. And it's necessary for the training of their spiritual well-being. Mom and Daddy, you got to do both. Now, those passages that we read had several things to say. For example, in chapter 11, verse 19, it said, teach them. And you shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt write them upon the front of the doorpost of thine house and upon thy gates. Man, you know what, Mom and Daddy? God said you're supposed to talk to them young'uns at home. Not just down at the church house. You're supposed to talk to them at home. God ought to be in the conversation. Amen. You go in an average house, and man, they know every football team and who got beat and how bad they got beat, and they can tell you about that kick that field goal with no time left on the clock and this, that, and the other. And boy, they get all excited and motivated. And they can't name 6 of the 12 apostles. And they can't quote 5 of the 10 commandments. And they don't know whether their children are saved or not. Don't tell me that there's not a misplacing of emphasis in our lives. When we know more about athletics and sporting events, which mean nothing to nobody. Nobody's any better off or any worse off for sports. But a lot of people are better off or worse off for the morals and the character that's taught from the Bible. Teach them at home. That thing said, where's that? Verse 19. Teach them, your children, speak of them when thou sittest in thine house and when thou walkest by the way. Talk to them about God at home and when you go on vacation. When you take a little trip, when you run downtown. Don't tell me you can't see things you can't start up a conversation about. Amen. Talk to them at home. Talk to them not at home. Talk to them about God. Talking about what? The things God has written. They ought to be putting the Word of God in their heart and in their mind. And then he said, make you some little placards and put them on your signs and on your doorposts. You know, you go in the average Christian home and you can't find anything Christian in it. There aren't any Christian pictures. There isn't any Christian music. There's no Christian artwork. Everything in the home is secular. When's the last time you walked in there and somebody's got up all over the door? This is the day the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. Or when you start to go out your front door, they got a little thing over the front door that said, this is the way, walk you in it. You know. Well, when's the last time you saw a Christian picture or a picture with a Christian saying under it? You go in, all their pictures are secular. All their sayings are secular. All their little hangy thingies, you know. That you get on anniversary, they're all secular. Where's God in all that? I think you ought to have Christian art in your home. I think you ought to have Christian placards in your home. I think you ought to put them on your car. Well, preacher, I think that's overboard. People think we're a little nuts. Well, here's your choice. You can let the world think you're nuts, or you can let me think you're nuts. I think you're nuts if you don't. Amen. Now, it said there in verse 19, speaking. In verse 20, it said writing. You ought to talk about God, and you ought to have books about God.
Amen.
Amen. You ought to have some devotional time. Well, preacher, we're just so hectic, and I'm getting up at this time, and she's getting up at that time, and the kids are off to school, and blah, blah, blah. Rearrange your schedule and find a time when you've got time, and all you need is 10, 15 minutes. It ain't like you need half a day. Talk to them every day. Sit down and read one little chapter, one little passage. Talk about it for a minute. Have prayer. How in the world are kids ever going to learn to pray if you don't ever pray with them? Amen. So I'm talking about training your children. I'm talking about training them for God. I know that you're going to take the time and energy and money to train them for the world. I'm sure you're not talking about that. That's going to be taken care of because that's everybody's number one priority. Well, preacher, I know religion's good and it ought to do this and that, but you know, we got to live in this present world. Well, I understand that. I'm not retarded. But buddy, you've got to live in the next one too. This ain't the only world they're ever going to live in. Let me close with this. I had to leave a bunch of stuff out this morning. That really bothers me when I have to do that. Look in chapter 11 and verse 21. Here's why you speak, here's why you write, here's why you teach. Chapter 11, verse 21. That your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. You know that good society you want? And that good life you want for yourself and for your children? It's available. We can actually have it. God is more than willing to give it to us. But there's a condition. There always is. No such thing as a free lunch. What's the condition? Wouldn't you like for your life to be long and blessed and plentiful? Wouldn't you like for it to be as heaven on earth? Isn't that what you want for your kids? You want your children to have better than you had? I want them to have better health. I want them to have a better life. I want them to have more joy. Isn't that what you want? Any sane parent wants our children to have more of and better than we got. I'd like for mine to have heaven on earth. I'd like for mine to live in a world without crime. I'd like to turn on Fox News and never hear of another war. I'd like to pick up the newspaper and not read about a rape or a murder or a child molester. Wouldn't you? I like to pick that thing up, and the hot story of the day is city council voted to spend another $100,000 to fix up such and such a park. Wouldn't it be wonderful? The most controversial, the most out of the way, the most spontaneous, the most moving story in the Evening Herald or the Rock Hill or whatever they call the thing now would be, we voted extra money for the park. You asked for $75,000, we gave you $125,000. Glory be to God. Wouldn't that be wonderful? No mention of drugs or dope or gangs. Wouldn't that be wonderful? It said that their days could be as heaven on earth. How do you get that, preacher? Back up to the next two verses, 18 and 19. If we bring them to Christ and we teach them His precepts, if we do it diligently, if we do it faithfully, if we do it consistently, when they're old, they will not depart. You know why the country's in the mess it's in? Because we're not doing that. You want to know why we have such a problem with young people? And don't sit there in your smug little world down here in York, South Carolina and say, well, me and my family and all our relatives, you know, we're a little, but we're doing this and we're doing that and none of that affects us. You're in the world with the rest of us. And your children won't always be in this little place. Families spread out and they grow and they get involved. And what's out there tends to come in here. You're not in a boat by yourself. You're in the boat with all the rest of us. And what affects one affects all. No man is an island unto himself. The Bible said, no man liveth unto himself and no man dieth unto himself. Isolationism won't get the job done. The only hope we have is to do what it says right here. Verse 19 or 18. Therefore, shall you lay up these words in your heart. Got to be in mom and daddy's heart first. And in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes, and ye shall teach them your children. You shall. Verse 20 and 21. Why? That they might prosper, and that their days might be long, and it might be as heaven upon earth. Now, some of y'all think I'm being ugly. I'm not being ugly. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to help this country. We need to get young people in church. We need to get them in church as early as we possibly can. We need them in church every time the church door is open. They need to be involved in everything that's going on. If you have to change plans and change your schedule, if it will help and enrich your children spiritually, you ought to make sure by the grace of God they are there. They're there on time. They're eager to go. You ought to build it up and pump it up. You ought never be derogatory. You ought never speak down. You ought never belittle the church or the preacher. So why? We are trying our dead level best to get your children saved and get them to live for God so that they miss all the shame and the hurt and the disappointment and the heartache and the heartbreak that comes with a life of sin and a life lived without God. Cannot do that without your help and your cooperation. Every mom and daddy ought to have every one of their young'uns here every Sunday morning at 10:30 or a little earlier so they can come in and be taught and instructed. They ought to be in the... You say, well, they don't get nothing out of the preaching. They get a lot more than you think they do. They get a lot more than you think they do. And they'd get a whole lot more if they was here three times a week instead of one. And if you put your children in front of yourself every now and then and make sure that you got as much opportunity to be taught and trained spiritually as they are for, as they're taught and trained for the secular world. Now that's what God wants. That's what God requires. And that's what's necessary if you want to live in a land where the crime rate is down, where the hatred is down, where God is glorified and where people can live quiet and peaceful lives. It's necessary to teach the generation that's coming on the things of God. And we must do it. We must do it diligently. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you for your goodness.